This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's the last Monday of July, so my friends from the environmental journalism portal, Makaranga.org, Lau Yao Hua and Wong Siu Lin are with me today to give us all a roundup of news and happenings from the conservation world. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Good.
Fine, thank you.
Lovely to have you back on the show. Again, you know, every month we say this and I still can't believe it. Yes, another month gone, another month that we sat at home, but never mind. It's for everyone's safety. How are you both doing? What's been happening? Tell me.
Not much. Working on stories. Still can't go out to do field reporting. So as you say, stuck at home.
But keeping safe, I hope. Siu Lin, how about you?
Yeah, same thing. Trying to be very creative in terms of, you know, painting a picture when you do a story, trying to get the sort of narrative feel in there, and really grilling interviewees. We live through our interviewees at this stage.
You and I both. But we have been seeing some interesting news, haven't we? And quite scary news, actually, in all these floods, all the wildfires, you know, the climate seems to be acting up as well. And I know that Malaysia, our own government, has actually announced several plans for climate action in Malaysia. You know, have you been hearing about that as well?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot to read up those plans. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I was like, hey, I thought you wanted to mention it.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I totally forgot to read out those plans in specific. Oh, sure. Okay, is this happening? Okay, let's try to do it then.
Then you want to go to...
Let's try to do it this way. Celine, do you remember any of those plans?
I don't, because you were going to do it.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. So let's try to see if we can do this. Huh? So I'm going to go in now, yeah? All right. Yeah. So, in the past few weeks, we have seen, announcements from the government, from the Prime Minister himself, you know, regarding the government's policies or sort of like new plans and to strengthen climate action, strengthen climate financing, that kind of all the slew of stuff. I think, you know, well, that's all great, right? At least we are talking about it, we're going that direction. And if you look at our BUSA, you know, they are also strengthening all this ESG reporting. But of course, all of this action, and plans, they really need the proof. Of course, is in the enforcement and execution, right? And that would require, I would say, well, definitely strong political will and a very strong government and governance to do it. And given the state of, you know, our national politics now, that's questionable. So, but of course, we do hope that, you know, these plans can be debated and then really improve, optimize, and then enforced. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just jump in and say that I think the three areas that the Prime Minister did announce was on low carbon cities, low carbon mobility, and carbon financing / pricing.
Mm-hmm. All the things that, you know, are being discussed at a global level as well. So it's nice to see that these conversations are being started here. Hopefully more comes of it, right? And we'll keep an eye on that, of course. But let's look at some other headlines. I think it was Malaysia Kini, actually. There was a huge headline that said, as deadline looms, Linus seeks new site for radioactive waste. What's happening in this saga? It seems to be a never-ending saga with Linus. What's happening over there?
Yeah, so this is a you're right, report by Malaysia Kini that came out just 2 days ago on Saturday. And it's an update on this ongoing saga about Linus and its, efforts to find a place to build a permanent disposal facility, right, for its radioactive waste, mm-hmm. right? If you recall, I'm sure everyone knows by now that, you know, Linus is the company that mines and then processes rare earth materials, right? Extracts rare earth materials, and is based in the Gebeng Industrial Park near Kuantan, Pahang. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for years, right, the public has been really concerned about this pile up of radioactive waste in its facility. And the deal that the previous government, Pakatan Harapan government, has given to the Linus is that it must move its the extraction process out of the Malaysia, right? So that, you know, after 2023, those processes cannot be done in Malaysia. So no more production of this radioactive waste. And another very important condition is that it must find a place, a secure place, a safe place to build its permanent disposal facility within Malaysia.
Yeah.
And since then, it has been this ongoing effort for Lynas and the state government, and then all the environment department and AELB, which is the Atomic Energy Licensing Board in Malaysia, to find this place. And so last year they looked into this place called Bukit Ketam in Pahang, near the border of Pahang and Terengganu, but it's in Pahang. But application to build the permanent disposal facility in Bukit Ketam was rejected. The EIA report, the Environmental Impact Assessment report, was rejected earlier this year in April.
Okay.
Right. So with that rejection, Lynas is like, you know, now they don't have a place, right? But since then, the company has said that, at first the company said that it would look into, you know, it will still pursue that option in Bukit Ketam, right? So I guess resubmit an application to the Department of Environment in Putrajaya. But what this Malaysia Kidney report is saying is that, perhaps they're still doing that, Bukit Ketam, but there are new documents that show that Lynas is looking to a new site for the disposal facility. And this new site is actually just next to their current facility in Gebeng Industrial Park, you know, just, I think, north of it, like 30 meters next to it, right?
That's right.
And yeah, so that's the thing, right? So now we know that Lynas is not only looking at Bukit Ketam, perhaps it might have given up Bukit Ketam, and it's now looking at this other alternative site, which is also smaller in size. I think like, you know, about half of the Bukit Ketam facility. Looking at this new site now. Mm-hmm. But it's still quite up in the air. Now, the only report we can find on it now is Malaysia Kidney's. In fact, this morning, Lynas is supposed to, I think, must have, I didn't attend it, must have made a sort of like a shareholder announcement or conference.
Okay.
On its quarterly report. Yeah, and it would have talked about this. Yeah.
Okay, so we don't quite know what's happening, right? It seems to be very much up in the air. I know that their deadline is coming up, and before their PDF can actually be constructed, they really need to solve all these issues, right? So it's all kind of really up in the air at the moment. We're not sure what's happening. So,
yeah, they have to start building the PDF, the disposal facility, by September. It was originally by April this year, right? But with the rejection, the authority extended their deadline to September, so they had to like quickly find the spot, get it approved, and then start, I don't know, laying down the first brick or something.
Yeah, I think information is so scarce. What we did last year when they announced this Bukit Ketam facility was to try and dig up some information about, you know, so a kind of an FAQ based on whatever information there was. And Yahua did quite a lot of digging. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to find out what's a PDF, what's it supposed to do, you know, what its aims are, that sort of thing, please go to Makaranga and visit our story on that. You know, it gives you the basics about what a PDF is, and then we can see like what happens when this new site is proposed and whether it will meet all the requirements. The other thing I do want to bring up also is that Lynas has actually made a little bit of a breakthrough in terms of its refining process. As we know, rare earth processing can be extremely detrimental to the environment. Mm-hmm. And what they have actually done is, they have been doing this all along anyway, R&D, spend a lot of money on R&D. And now they have actually managed to come up with a new refining process that actually uses fewer chemicals.
Okay.
And it makes sense to them because it costs less. So it's not just an environmental thing, but it actually makes business sense. And so it's supposedly successful at producing a higher purity earth carbonate, which is what is sent to Malaysia to be processed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and they won a huge grant from the Australian government, a $14.8 million Australian dollar grant. You know, which is great. I mean, you know, if it's all for the better, for better refining, better processing, we all need to use rare earths. It's used everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in modern technology, for green technology especially, uses a lot of rare earths. So just want to put that out there as well.
Okay. All right. And now we are going to move on to a plant of a different kind. A new plant actually has been discovered in Malaysia. And I understand it's been named after our very own Malaysian discoverer's mother. Some good news. Tell me, guys. We're desperately
really, really excellent segue. Wonderful, wonderful puns. Let's make it all about puns.
Yes.
So this is a fairy lantern, and it's a really unique plant because it doesn't have leaves, doesn't have chlorophyll. It gets its food from fungi in the roots. And people are, scientists are still a little bit, it's a bit of a mystery how it's actually being pollinated. Yeah. So it's got orange flowers that pop up, but very, very hard. It's on the forest floor. It's very hard to spot. But we have this intrepid explorer by the name of Dom Nikong. He's quite well known amongst conservationists and naturalists because he takes wonderful photographs, also contributes to travel magazines. And he's really, really done lots of explorations of the forest in his native land, which is Terengganu. So he's found a few of these already. And this fairy lantern was discovered by him in 2019 in the hills of Terengganu. It was named just the end of June this year. And so it's a fantastic effort of collaboration between local researchers, naturalists, as well as non-Malaysians. So we have from the Forest Research Institute of Malaysia, FRIM, Dr. Siti Munira, Mat Yuno, yeah, and from Oxford, Dr. Chris Thorogood. Yeah, and they decided to name this after Dom's mother, which is, so the name is, it's a Thysmia. And the name of this new plant is the Thysmia Siti Mariamie. So named after Siti Mariam, yeah, which is very nice. It's an ode to his mother supporting him, in his crazy jaunts into the forest all these years. And rightly so, it's the third Thysmia, discovered in Terengganu. The first one was named after Terengganu, so it's Thysmia Terengganuensis. The second one was Thysmia Domei, named after him. Yeah, and the third one after his mom. That is a lovely, lovely story.
Wow. Sorry, he's quite a prolific explorer then, isn't he? I'm sorry, I've not heard of him, but gosh, three flowers there.
Well, yeah, Siti Munira, and Dom Nikom has collaborated quite a bit. And I've seen them, I think they have several papers together.
Okay.
And Siti Munira from FRIM is also very prolific. She has been doing this for some time and has discovered several species too. So it's all good work. Siulin called her Dr. Siti Munira Mat Yuno. I tried to look it up whether she is doctor, because the funny thing is that I'm not sure if this is being recorded, we should put this in or not actually. I'm not sure she's a doctor, Siulin. I tried to look it up.
I think I got it from actually the Oxford publication.
The Oxford publication doesn't call her a doctor.
I see.
That's why I look it up.
Right.
And on FRIM, she doesn't have the doctor behind her name. Others who have doctor have it behind her name. And on my base, she's just Mrs. Siti Munira Mat Yuno. I don't think she's a doctor yet.
Okay. Okay. Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
Can you take it out?
Can. Yeah. I'll just take out the doctor part. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to take out, isn't it? if cannot take out, it's never mind. Like, it's just a fast mention. It doesn't matter.
I'll see. I mean, it might just sound a bit weird, but I can try. I'll see what I can do. Sorry, where were we?
Siulin was going to say something before I interrupted. Yeah.
Well, I was going to I'll start again. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is really interesting because it's always good to use local names. It's always good to recognize local collaborators. I think this is a very big thing in science at the moment. Yao Hua actually wrote a story a couple of years ago on how, the local collaborators or even a little bit of the ethics were bent. Let's call it. I don't even know whether you can say it that way, but Yao Hua, you did something on a spider, right?
Yeah. Talking about this, the tarantula, one of those blue-legged tarantula, the Birrupes simoxigorum. Mm. I think this was 2 years ago, right? I think so. Time flies. Yeah, so there was one where, some locals have actually spotted the spider first. Well, of course, some natives must have spotted the spider first, but the one who was two photographers actually snapped photos of it, and then they're working with some other people to want to name it, but before they could do that, you know, a team of Europeans came over. Collected the spider without permits in Sarawak, and then made its way back to Europe, and then landed, and this specimen landed in the hands of a researcher in UK, and then they name it. Yeah. And so in the whole paper, in the whole process there, that specimen from Malaysia was named, identified, etc., etc., you know, without local, you know, attribution, without local contribution, sort of. So, you know, that wasn't great at all. In fact, there were many issues about that. So I wouldn't call that an example of collaboration that we should do, right? And this one, this new plant, is a great example of international collaboration of natural historians working with scientists. Yeah, that's what we want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember you calling it biopiracy. Am I correct? Did I make that up in my head?
Some people call it biopiracy, but you actually have to prove that they did that for trade or something, right? In this case, there are different ways of talking about it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, finally, some good news, I suppose, and lovely, you know, that also everyone is discovering new things, I suppose, even while things are kind of on hold. So that's lovely news. But just looking forward to next month, what what are you guys looking forward to in August? Gosh, the year's almost gone already. What's happening?
Well, I will tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking for vaccination rates to really ramp up, at least in Kuala Lumpur and Putrajaya, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the authorities have said they could reach herd immunity in the federal territories by August. Why do I want that? So that at least the libraries can reopen there and I can go and do my research. I can do my field reporting. That's my personal wish to look forward to. Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
You nerd. Okay. Silen, what about you?
Well, I'm looking forward to an absence or something. I'm looking forward to the absence of the haze. We've got enough with the pandemic going, as Yahua says. You know, it's shut down too many things. So we don't really need the haze coming in again. And apparently, it's not going to happen this year, according to a Haze Outlook Report 2021 by Sergi Enam Advisors, who are a consultancy, and the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. So they published this last month, and basically the reason for that, they think the haze isn't going to be bad this year is because it's a La Nina year. So that's basically, you know, it's going to be a lot wetter. But also commitment on the part of the Indonesian government across, you know, so this is the transboundary haze issue. Mm-hmm. So particularly in areas of peatland and mangrove conservation and a few other sort of commitments that they've made. So that's good, we hope, yeah. And then also, unfortunately, there are also, you know, the huge omnibus law that Indonesia has put into place, as well as the food estate program. So these are the concerns that also, like, maybe are these new laws and these new programs going to counter the sort of commitments that Indonesia has already made? I think I've also read other reports that say that, you know, it's probably not going to be a bad haze season this year. Mm-hmm. And having prepared this, last night I opened my doors and what did I smell? Smoke.
Oh,
so
no.
There's always good old local haze and good old open burning. But anyway, no bad transboundary haze this year, we hope.
Okay. And I think last year also we were, you know, bracing ourselves for it and it didn't happen. So that was really good. So yeah, okay, let's hope for this streak to carry on. But thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Wong Siew Lin and Lau Yahua. They are both co-founders, co-editors and writers at makaranga.org. If you want to find out more, just head to their portal, makaranga.org, makaranga.org. Listen to their podcast. They've got articles. They've got lots of things going on there. Or follow them on their social media pages as well. And if you miss any part of today's interview, just download the podcast at bfm.my/earth or look for it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.